Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome here to the very last Panic Podcast for the week. Today, we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be starting at, verse 11. We're going to talk about love versus fear today on the big podcast. So get your coffee ready, get your Bibles opened up to 1 John 4, and sit back and enjoy the Word of God with me. And we'll get started in just a second. Send the light. That's the Dominion Jazz Players. Well, what a beautiful morning here in Southwest Virginia. The deer are frolicking in the side yard, driving Huey crazy. Huey has got a hate on for that deer family like I've never seen before. He just stares at them like with hatred in his eyes. Is that hatred or is it just, I'm not sure. It's hard to tell what's going on in Huey's little brain. All right, 1 John chapter 4. Hope you're enjoying our studies in 1 John. Got a few more to go, then we'll move on to something else. It's Friday. Boy, it's the end of the week. Are you glad it's the end of the week? I'm kind of glad. It's been a long week for me. I lost a friend of mine this week, a longtime member of the church, and just one of the best people that I know passed away on Wednesday. Funeral is tomorrow, and the family is a longtime member at church, and they moved away in January, moved down a few hours south of us here to get better medical care for her, but she passed away Wednesday. So say a prayer for the Young family, if you would. I'd appreciate that. And for yours truly, I'll be doing the funeral tomorrow. So it's been kind of a long week, and I'm glad it's coming to an end. Been a lovely September so far. Hope it's nice where you are today. Hope that you have a good day doing whatever it is you plan on doing. Make the Lord a part of it. All right. Through Jesus Christ, God revealed himself to man. Through the Holy Spirit, God indwells man. In our study today, we will see, I think, three glorious things about this truly unique relationship between God and his people. First, we'll see the gift. Then we'll discover the gain, that is what we have gained in this gift. And finally, the glory, the inexpressible result of our continuing relationship with God through the Holy Spirit's presence in us. Now, let's start at verse 11. We'll go down to verse 21. We won't look at every single verse this morning, but we'll look at a few of them. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Now, before we go any further, I want to talk just for a minute or two on this particular verse. God has demonstrated his love for us. Therefore, you and I ought to love similarly. All right? He loved us enough to give his son as a propitiation for our sins. And we ought to love others the same way. Now, our lives can't save anybody, but we ought to have that kind of extreme love for others in the body of Christ. If we love those who love us, or if there's a selfish motive in our loving them, that doesn't count for anything. Jesus said, for if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Matthew 5:46. So we ought to love one another. Ought. That's an important word. It means, John means that. He's not talking about an emotional love or a sentimental love. That's all the rage today. We need to love each other. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. So if you really love him, you will obey what he says. And John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Okay? So you can't hate other Christians down here and still love God. You can't do that. All right? You need to love one another the way God loved you. I think a good example, two good examples of that love is when Jesus was on the cross dying. What did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, Luke 23:34. That's love from the cross. Stephen said essentially the same thing as he was being stoned to death. That's love. All right? So this is love. Do you have that kind of love for people? All right, let's go on to verse 12. I say that because we're not actually going to study verse 11, but I wanted to read that verse because it is such an important verse. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Holy Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, then God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. That's an important statement right there. We love because he first loved us. If we say we love God yet hate a brother or sister, we're liars. For if we do not love a fellow believer whom we have seen, we cannot love God whom we have not seen. And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love one another. Let's take a look at this incomparable gift of God to the believer. Now, it's verses 12 and 13, so let's read those two verses and then talk about it. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. Okay, now, let's talk about that first part in verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. Okay, some people challenge that statement by pointing out all the people in the scriptures who've seen God. Of course, you can go right back to the book of Genesis. Obviously, Adam and Eve both saw God. Moses talked with God face to face, right? Isaiah said in Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And Ezekiel had visions of God, and the Lord appeared to Daniel and to others. And yet John, even in his gospel, now we're in John's first letter, but he wrote his gospel first in John 1:18, he says, no man has seen God at any time. All right? So what exactly are we talking about here? Well, when God appeared to people in the Old Testament, they did not actually see God because God is a spirit, and that's the way we worship him. those men saw what we call a theophany. That is to say, God manifested himself in some form to all of these men that saw him. But at no point ever in the Old Testament when he appeared to people, did he ever reveal himself in all of his fullness. So when John says in his letter, even after the Lord Jesus had gone back to heaven, no man has seen God at any time. Okay, he is absolutely telling the truth there. Jesus said to Philip, you'll recall John 14:9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But how did they see God? Well, they saw God veiled in human flesh. All right? The point that John is making here in 1 John is that no man has seen God at any time, but God has manifested himself through believers loving each other. Since the world in general does not see Jesus as he is presented in the Word of God, the only way it will know of God's love is through the lives of believers who represent him. Okay, none of us, you, me, nobody, knew about God's love until God showed it to us on the cross when Jesus died, and he makes it real to us by the Holy Spirit. So John is quite correct when he says no one has seen God at any time. People that claim to have seen God have seen God's manifestations of himself in a way that those people could understand. When Jesus came to the earth, he was God veiled in flesh. And even then, you don't see the complete glory of God, but you see God in Jesus. So much so that if you see Jesus, if you know Jesus, then you know God. Now, if we love one another, God is in us. That's what John essentially writes here. We prove our faith to the world by loving each other. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. You remember that song? We used to sing that back in the 70s around a campfire. All right? So if it's one thing to say you're a Christian, but how do you prove that you're a Christian? Well, the world is watching to see how we treat one another. If we love one another, then we are demonstrating that God is in us. And probably more specifically, that God is loving through us. Now, I may like you or I may dislike you. That's beside the point. You may detest some of the things that I say or do. And that's beside the point. The simple truth John has given us here is that God dwells in us only if we are loving one another, in spite of who or what we are. The proof is in the loving. And the proof that God is in us is how we treat one another and how we love one another. It's nothing to do with your feelings. Okay, so as I say, this is not a sentimental loving. It has to do with how we treat one another. Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? All right, he prayed that God would forgive those who were crucifying him. That's love. He did not pray God's judgment on them. He prayed that God would forgive them. The second part of the gift, okay, that's the outward manifestation, the fact that God is in us. The second part is inwardly. It concerns the assurance that we need constantly that we are children of God. So how do we know? How do we know that we are His? How do we know that we've been born again? How do we know that God has saved us? Well, because He's given us His Holy Spirit. Upon our repentance, God baptized or submerged us into His family. Okay. Furthermore, the verb phrase "He has given" is in the perfect tense, indicating the gift of the Holy Spirit in us is a permanent gift given to us at a point in the past and forever ours. The Holy Spirit is in us. God lives in us. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that for sure that we've been born again, that we actually do love one another. Now look at down to verse 17. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. All right. We gain something in this relationship we have with God. We gain something in having God dwelling within us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Look again what verse 17 here says. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have, okay, look at that word, confidence. Some versions translate that as boldness. That's a key concept in the Word of God here, okay? And it's one of the most important words in the entire New Testament, boldness or confidence. Luke tells us in the book of Acts that the religious authorities were amazed at the boldness of Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. Also in Acts chapter 4, the disciples spoke the word of God with boldness or with confidence. We are invited as God's children to come boldly to the throne of grace in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Now, what does that word mean, boldness or confidence? The Greek word has nothing to do with brashness or with reckless presumption, but has to do with freedom of speech. God has given the believer, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in them, a freedom of speech that they didn't have before. That is to say, we're able to tell God anything. We're able to come before God and just tell God anything. We have this kind of confidence. That's a precious thing. We don't have to be afraid that God is going to laugh at us or slap us down or mock us because of the things that we say. We can come to God with complete freedom to say what's on our hearts and in our minds. I don't suggest speaking disrespectfully to God. That's not what I'm saying. But we can give God our prayer requests. We can tell him what we're afraid of and that sort of thing. We have that kind of confidence. We're also told in verse 17 that our love is made complete. It's made perfect. So if you and I love God, if you and I love the Lord Jesus, and if you and I love one another as brothers and sisters in the faith, then that's going to give us that boldness or confidence. Now, that means that we're not going to have any fear on the day of judgment because we have lived exactly as God has told us to live with his help. All right? And look, there's another interesting phrase here in verse 17 where it says, in this world we are like Jesus. I want to just talk about that for 1 second because that's kind of an important word. Phrase, we are just like the Lord Jesus. He was raised from the dead, we are told here, and he has life. Well, we have exactly the same kind of life. We have been raised from spiritual death. And so in the world, we are like Jesus in that regard. If we've been raised to a new life in him, then we're going to live the way Jesus lived. We're going to treat others the way Jesus treated others. That's what John gets here when he says, in this world, we are like Jesus. I love that. Now, let's look at verses. There goes that. I was waiting for that. That buck is eating from our apple tree, and there goes Huey. bound and determined to chase him off the property. Now let's look at the glory of it all. Now verse 18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, what kind of fear is John talking about here in verse 18? It's possible that he's talking about fear at the thought of judgment. But where there is perfect love, and it's in the perfect tense because God's love is in us, it's not our own love, it's his love, then there is trust, there is confidence, there is assurance. Just as darkness cannot exist in the presence of light, so fear cannot reign where there is love. So if you are loving one another in the Lord, then there should be no fear in your life at all for fear of judgment or fear that God's going to get mad at you. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. So, excuse me, if you are living and loving the way God wants you to, there's no fear of punishment because you're doing exactly what God has told you to do in his word, his revealed word, okay? There's nothing like fear. There's nothing like fear in your heart, because the child of God has no fear of punishment. It was all settled on the cross when Christ died for you. And just think about this. If you are fearful, if you live in fear, you can't enjoy your salvation. You know, joy stems from love. And if you have love for the Lord Jesus, love for God, and love for your brothers and sisters, then you have no fear. They can't exist together. All right? So if you're experiencing any kind of fear in your life, you need to get over that. You need to have victory over that fear. It's not supposed to be there. Now, if you're not living right, then that's an indication that you're not living right. But sometimes the devil tries to trick us and fool us and give us fear, make us be afraid of things like viruses or whatever, fear of death or whatever. But if you're in Christ, you should have no fear in your life whatsoever. None. Zip. Nada. Especially if you're living the way you should. There's no torment in the world like that produced in a person who lives in fear. I mean, just think about the fears that people in the world have. I mentioned like fear of viruses. I mean, we saw that over the past 2 years. All the hypochondriacs out there, afraid of a virus. You shouldn't be afraid of that. You should fear nothing. I'm not saying you should live recklessly, but you shouldn't be afraid. Why would you be afraid? You think a virus is bigger than God? You think a virus is going to end your life when it's not your time? Your days, your years are in God's hands. You don't need to fear anything. Right? People fear tomorrow. People fear death. People fear judgment. People fear other people. It's a terrible way to live. And because sin alienates a man from God, it's the fear of the unbeliever toward a God that he doesn't know and whom he cannot call Father. But that's not you. If you're born again, God is your Father. You shouldn't fear God. You shouldn't fear tomorrow. You shouldn't fear anything. God is your Father. There's a glorious promise here that love casts out fear. Let me get the exact wording here. Perfect love drives out fear. That's right, because fear and love cannot coexist in the same person. When you surrender yourself to God and able to allow God to love through you, there can be no fear. The love of God within you destroys and dissipates all fear. As I said, if you are a fearful believer, if you're experiencing fear, that's the devil trying to trick you. It's not real, and you need to get the victory over that. And I know a lot of Christians that live in fear of this or that. They're always apprehensive. They're always anxious about something. My friend, that is a terrible way to live. Terrible. You're nullifying your faith when you allow fear to take over your life like that. Don't let that happen. All right? You have control over your emotions. Fear is an emotion. It's irrational in the life of a Christian. Now, there's a good fear. There's a good fear. I think you know, that goes without saying. You should fear fire. In other words, you should respect it. You should respect a hot stove. Don't touch it. I mean, all kinds of things like that in the world. We understand that. Like, I'm highly allergic to grass and leaves and green things. And so I make it a point to stay off the lawn. You ever see that episode of Star Trek where they were, I think it was called The Way to Eden, when Captain Kirk picks up a bunch of these hippies? Remember that episode? And they wanted to go to this planet because they thought it was like the Garden of Eden. But when they beamed down to the planet, nature was, it killed them. They burned their feet when they walked on the grass. They ate the fruit and it killed them. Okay, that's like me. That's how bad my allergies are. I'm not afraid of leaves. I'm not afraid of grass. I'm not afraid of dirt. But I'm allergic to those things, so I stay away from them as much as possible. That kind of thing, that's if you want to call that a fear, that's a healthy fear. But we're talking about irrational things like this. When you let fear to reign in your life, you're making a mockery of God and what He's done for you. He sets you free from that, so start living in confidence as the child of God you are. If you're a Christian, you've already received the greatest gift of all. You know what that is? Salvation by grace through faith. But if you received the gift John talks about, which ought to be operative in the life of every Christian, then you understand what the Holy Spirit's job is in your life. You've been given the Holy Spirit. You've been filled up with the very presence of God Himself. So are you letting God love through you, live through you? And are you receiving constantly the assurance that you belong to God because of His Holy Spirit within you? Have you gained that holy boldness, a freedom to speak your faith to others? Are you free from fear because God has shed abroad His love in your heart? I hope so. I hope so. Now, hopefully, as the longer we live in the faith, the more mature we come, the more truthful those statements become in our lives. I mean, we're all growing in the faith at different speeds. The more you read the Word of God, the more true those statements become. Right? The more you attend worship services with other believers, the stronger your faith will become. So, we love because He first loved us. We are able to love because He first loved us and poured His love into us. And that love of God, folks, is going to work its way out. It's going to work its way out of your life and touch others. Let that happen. Be the kind of children of God He wants you to be. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the Panic Podcast for Friday. We'll pick up 1 John chapter 5 next Friday when we get together. In the meantime, I hope you all have a great weekend. I hope that you get out there and enjoy your Labor Day festivities. Of course, here in Wise County, it's supposed to pour the rain all weekend, does every Labor Day. But if you're fortunate enough to not live in Wise County this weekend, get out there and have fun with your friends and with your family, and enjoy the day off if you get it on Monday. But do go to church. If you're on vacation, taking the weekend, taking a long weekend, find a church and get to it on Sunday. God will notice. And we'll see you first thing Monday morning with the next Panic Podcast. In the meantime, God bless you. Have a good, have a safe weekend. We'll see you all again real soon.